Why did Jesus die on the cross?
Because he died for our sins.
Why?
From her sin.
Why did Jesus rise from the dead? To eat the fruit?
Because he showed everyone that death and sin was over with.
When Jesus was praying in the garden, why did his disciples fall asleep?
I don't know.
Because they were tired?
Because they didn't know what that was.
Because his disciples were very tired and he was praying about the cross because he was about to go on the cross.
Why didn't Peter and John find Jesus in the tomb?
He has arisen from the dead.
Because he raised from the dead?
Because he was going away from there and he was just going away from this.
What is Easter really about?
Eggs. That spring is here.
Eggs.
Jesus dying on the cross for our sins.
Food.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. Happy Resurrection Sunday to everybody. We've learned over the last several weeks that people start logging in about now, and they miss a few of my opening comments. So just wanted to maybe ask a couple of questions to you. Maybe we can kind of dialogue back and forth, or at least you can dialogue with me. I can't dialogue back with you, but maybe you can talk with one another. So how's your week been going? How's your weeks been going? How have you been doing hunker down at home and, filling up your days and stuff? I hope you've had some good experiences and been able to spend some time with your family, spend some time with the Lord, spend some time in the Word, and just some time of rest and relaxation, maybe a little bit through all of this and not be so stressed out. How'd you like that video that was posted a few minutes ago back around 10 o'clock? All the kids answering the questions of what Easter was all about and different things like that. I want to thank Pastor Joseph for putting that together. Really cute to hear from the children's perspective some different understandings and interpretations of what they feel like Easter is all about. Just really, really fun. Again, thank you, Pastor Joseph, for putting that together. Hey, so don't forget, while we're getting ready to start here, to get your communion elements ready, whatever juice or tea or whatever you have, and some cracker or something like that, set it aside, have it ready to go, because at the end of our time together today, we're going to have communion together. So if you will, I want you to post for me the response to this. I think you might know the response, but I'm going to say something, and I want you to post a response back. I'm going to say it right now. Ready? He is risen. I think you know the response to that. Post with, he is risen indeed. So I'll say it again. He is risen. And then you respond back, he is risen indeed. If we were gathered together on a Sunday morning in church, I would be shouting that out and you would be responding back. So go ahead and post that in a way that we can all resoundingly declare that this morning together. If you will, let's open up in prayer and let's begin our time here together today. Lord, we thank you today for this day that you've made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it, and especially this day that is set aside to celebrate the resurrection of you, not only from the grave, but also ultimately in our lives, in our hearts. And one day, you're going to make all things new in this world and resurrect this world to newness of life when you make new heaven and new earth, and you're going to reign and rule in righteousness. We look forward to that day. But today we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, the day that you rose from the dead, you defeated death, hell, and the grave, you conquered it, And we can celebrate and live in the victory and in the authority and the life that you now are giving us to walk out. Thank you for this time. I pray a blessing over everyone that is viewing this, whether live or later on, and that God, that you would resurrect who you are in our hearts today, and that we would always, always remember that you are alive and well and in control of everything. We love you and thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me just tell you real quick again, while a few people are still logging on, I want to thank Jane Willis, and I want to thank Richard Boggs, for as well as everybody else that contributed to this, but especially Jane and Richard, who put together 100 bags of goodies for our patrol officers in Rock Hill. They made 100 bags filled with water bottles and snacks and goodies, as well as a note from the church, a word of encouragement. My understanding is that it was well received, greatly appreciated, and just really encouraging to our patrol officers in Rock Hill. So, excuse me. So thank you, Jane and Richard, for doing that, and everybody that contributed. Ministry still going on. Also, Richard Cooper and Shekinah Ciccone went yesterday to Armory Park. God bless them for doing that on their own and just feeling like they needed to get out and touch some lives in Rock Hill at Armory Park. They've been doing this with the team ongoing for months, but decided they wanted to do it yesterday. The weather was nice, and they felt like they just needed to touch some lives. So God bless you for that, and they did. They were able to touch a lot of kids' lives with the love of Christ and also their families. And also, yesterday, Pastor Matt did the first ever virtual Crossroads Easter Egg Hunt. All the kids, actually, he said there were 17 kids from 5 different states that did this Easter egg hunt virtually. And they were able to find whatever they found and whatever's on Matt's list and get this together. And one of the kids won. I'm not sure what he won, but I guess he's going to take us all out to eat later. Maybe that's what he won. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, ministry's still going on. And by the way, we also have had some conversations this week, and I want to just let you know that God is still in control. I had a conversation with one lady who had to step back from her part-time job during this coronavirus just so that she didn't infect some of her family members. She felt like she was working at a grocery store and interacting with a lot of people, and she said, I just need to step back for a while. As soon as she made that decision, a couple of days later, her and her husband got a check in the mail that you always hear this all the time, unexpected check in the mail. Unexpected check in the mail that covered 10 weeks of, it would have been 10 weeks of her income. So in essence, she stepped back and God says, well, let me just take care of this for you. So for the next 10 weeks, their income is taken care of. Praise God for that. Also, another gentleman that I was speaking with this week who got a job at a place where actually 3 different places were fighting for him to employ him. And finally, the one that won, it was closer to where he lived. They were paying him $2 an hour more than the other places. And a day after he started, he got a $300 bonus that was for all the employees, but he just happened to make the cut the day before he started the job. And the day after he started the job, he got a $300 bonus. So I'll just tell you, God is in control, and there's no sicknesses. We've been making phone calls. Pastor Joseph, Pastor Matt, and myself have been making phone calls to the congregation, making sure everybody's doing okay. And so far, no one has got the coronavirus. Praise God for that. All people's needs are being met, and people are gathering together online for fellowship. As I said last week, God's got this. We're in the palm of his hands. Amen. Well, let me just say that we're living in unprecedented times. You hear that word a lot lately, unprecedented. It seems to be crystallizing all the more in people's hearts and the realities of their lives as we gather across the globe here today on this Easter. There has never been a time where we look at this time of Easter and say there's got to be more than the celebrations of the Easter bunnies and the Easter baskets and the Easter eggs and the chocolate candies and the dressing up in Sunday's best and the festive family meals, all the trappings of Easter. There's nothing wrong with those. But there's more to Easter than all of those things. We've grown up with that. In fact, we were given pictures from our children today, and our niece, who sent us pictures of our grandchildren and our great nieces and nephews that were out Easter egg hunting yesterday, and all the special surprises that they get. It's such a sweet time. But there's really more to Easter than that. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I don't know what your background is for Easter, what you've experienced in your life as far as what Easter is all about. But let me just give you a real quick background. Ready? Let's talk about what Easter actually began as. I don't know if you know this, but Easter actually began as a pagan holiday. It was a celebration of spring that really was a celebration of the day that there was more sunshine than there was nighttime. It's called the spring equinox. And I'm all about the sunshine. Oh, I love the sunshine. And so give me sunshine. But it actually began as a pagan holiday. And then in 325 AD, this church council in a place called Nicaea determined that Easter would fall on the next Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. It wasn't a fixed date like Christmas, December 25th. We know every year Christmas is going to fall on December 25th. But Easter changes year to year based on the lunar cycle. So this year, it's April 12th. Next year, for example, it's going to be on April the 4th. And it changes every year based on the lunar cycles. Now, there was this pagan goddess named, I'm probably not going to pronounce this right, but it's Oestre. And I'm going to spell it O-E-S-T-R-E, Oestre. She was the goddess of spring. And her name was, you can see where we get that name that was kind of morphed, more anglicized into Easter. So you take Easter, which was a celebration of spring, and then also, where do you get the decorated eggs? Well, back in the day when people came out of Lent, which was a celebration leading up to Easter, it was a time of reflection and committing themselves to the Lord. A lot of folks still celebrate Lent. In fact, the Catholics really celebrate Lent every year faithfully. But out of Lent, back in the day, hundreds of years ago, they took these eggs, they boiled them, they decorated them, and then they ate them to break the fast of Lent. So we added that to our celebration of Easter. Later on, bunny rabbits were added to symbolize fertility and the new abundant life. They were actually part of the pagan Easter celebration. So that just got added into the celebration as well. Later on, confectioners made eggs and bunnies out of chocolate, which I'm sure is most of our favorite part of it. And the rest, as they say, is history. Somewhere in the mix of all of this, the real Easter story got muddled and lost. Just like Christmas has become in large part about Santa Claus and the presents and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, all of that. Easter has gotten into the whole thing about Easter bunnies and all of that. It's okay again to celebrate that and bring it in as part of that, but let's move that aside, if we will, and let's find out what Easter really is all about. And Easter Sunday, in fact, should be called Resurrection Sunday. Because it was on that day, is on this day, that Jesus rose from the dead, and Jesus is alive and well, and he's resurrection from death to life. That's also why the New Testament church, by the way, doesn't gather on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a Saturday, but the church gathers actually on Sundays, which is actually called the Lord's Day, because every Sunday is a celebration and a reminder that we serve a risen Savior. So every Sunday when we get together, it's the Lord's Day. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. So I'm going to say it one more time, and you can respond back. He is risen. And then I hear everyone saying and typing, he is risen indeed. You know, this is the first Easter for many of us where we are not actually physically gathering in a church building. It seems kind of strange to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from our homes today. But as I've said in the past, the church isn't a building, it's a people. So we gather virtually today all across the world. You know, I touched on this a few weeks ago, but I want to drill down into this a little more deeply today with this. The COVID-19 virus that we're all experiencing the results of has changed our world. It's turned our world upside down. You know, I've heard people compare this coronavirus to at times when our nation has been at war. In fact, even the president has said, I'm a wartime president in so many different ways. And it's true. You think about World War II, and you think about World War I, and all the wars that our country's been involved in. The troops rally together, the energy is intense, and the common focus is to defeat the deadly foe of whoever it might be. I've also heard it described, this coronavirus, by many as an unseen enemy, and that's true. While we could see our foes in wars that we've fought, this virus is invisible to the naked eye. This virus is a worldwide event. It plays no favorites. It's infecting the rich and the poor, the old and the young, the black and the white, the man and the woman. It started with one person in China, but has spread to millions upon millions across this globe. It's infecting the American and the European, the Middle Eastern and the Asian, the African and the Indian. There's no place or person where this virus hasn't reached or touched. The mortality rate of this virus is approximately 3.4%. In other words, over 3 out of every 100 who contract this virus has not survived. This virus isn't anything to play around with, for sure. We can't see the virus, but we can see the results. And to say it's awful is an understatement. It's a perfect example of what sin is. Sin plays no favorites. Sin impacts the rich and the poor, the old and the young, the black and the white, the man and the woman. It started with one person in the Garden of Eden, but has spread to every last soul that has ever lived, is living now, or ever will live in the future. It's infecting the American and the European, the Middle Eastern and the Asian, the African and the Indian. There's no place or person where sin hasn't reached or touched. All of creation is impacted by sin. Wildlife, plants and trees, the land, the sea, and even all the universe is impacted by sin's deadly pervasiveness. It's a worldwide pandemic that has existed since the creation of man and the fall of man in the garden. The mortality rate for sin is 100%. In other words, 100 out of every 100 who are born have ultimately died because of sin. Sin isn't anything to play around with, for sure. You know, the scientists are scrambling to find a cure for COVID-19, and the government is urging social distancing, hand sanitizing, wearing of gloves, face masks, all as a desperate and imperfect response to this virus. There's no known cure for this deadly disease. But while there is no cure for COVID-19 and its 3 out of 100 mortality rate, there is a cure for the deadly disease of sin with its 100 out of 100 mortality rate. That's why Easter comes. That's where Easter comes in today. In the middle of all that's going on in the world today, we pause and are reminded of the cure that was once and for all provided for 100% of mankind. As we clear out the underbrush of what we allowed to obscure the real meaning of Easter, we see something so simple and yet profound standing right in front of us. It's the cross of Calvary of Jesus where he died, and it's the empty tomb where Jesus was but is no more. The Easter story can be wrapped up in an all too familiar but concise verse that we all know so well. And if you will, say it with me. You don't even have to look it up. It's found in John 3:16, and it's this: For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Within this verse is found the cure for our sin sickness. God saw the impact of sin on mankind. His heart was broken for the creation that he so loved. He saw our need for rescue of the sin that was decimating us. Out of his abundant and complete love for us, he gave all of us the remedy, the inoculation for our deadly sins, when he gave us his son Jesus as a sacrifice for us. Jesus died for us so we wouldn't have to experience eternal separation from God when our bodies die. Romans 3:23 says, For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, 100% of us were born in sin. None of us can measure up to God's holiness. We can try and try in our own strength, but we always will fall short. All of mankind falls into one of two categories. Either we are sinners not saved by God's grace, or we are sinners saved by God's grace. Romans 6:23 says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. One day everyone will die physically. If you're listening to this today, one day you will die. But our souls, your soul, is going to live forever, either in heaven or in hell. You know, even Jesus died, but he's the only one who's ever risen from the dead. He defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he's alive today. He conquered death, hell, and the grave, so that through him we can have eternal life. Praise God. You know, just as you work, as our scripture said, all of sin and for the wages of sin is death, just as you work a job and get wages for your labor, the wages of your sin labor is death. But Jesus took upon himself your wages, what was owed to you, what you earned because of your sinful choices, your punishment, your sin, so you wouldn't have to experience eternal death and separation from God. I like to say it this way. I deserve punishment for my sin. God's mercy says no. I don't deserve forgiveness for my sin. God's grace says yes. I'm thankful for God's mercy and God's grace, aren't you? You know, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love, his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. You know, God knew that we couldn't be good on all our own. Our good works, our generosity, our clean living, or anything else that we would try to be or do, aren't ever enough to earn heaven. So I this blows my mind, but there's no guarantees that Jesus had. When God said to Jesus, I want you to go, live a perfect life, die for the sins of mankind. Jesus never negotiated with God and said, I'll tell you what, I'll do it if I get 1 million people to accept me. I'll do it if I get 10 million. I'll do it if I get 500,000. I'll do it if I get 100. He never negotiated. He just said, I'll do it. There's no guarantees of anyone accepting the gift that Jesus has given to us. And so based on that, even with that, the only one who has ever lived a perfect sinless life chose to take our punishment that we deserved and die in our place. In Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. It's just that simple. It's that simple. There's nothing more you have to do. You can't be good enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't read your Bible enough. You can't pray enough. You can't do anything else enough to earn salvation. It's only through Jesus that you can be saved. It's only through his finished work on the cross that we can be forgiven of our sins and restored back to right relationship with God the Father. That's God's goal, is restored relationships. As you confess Jesus with your mouth to be your Savior and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you'll be freed from the curse of sin and be given the free gift of salvation and eternal life in heaven one day. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I like that word, everyone. That doesn't mean some. That doesn't mean a few. That doesn't mean just ones he's chosen. That doesn't mean almost everyone. It's everyone. That's you. That's me. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter what anyone has ever told you, I'm here with some good news today. If you call on Jesus right now, you'll be saved. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There is more to Easter today. There's more than the bunnies and the eggs and the chocolates. There's new life to be experienced today. There's sin to be forgiven. There's a relationship with God to be restored, cultivated, and pursued. And there's an eternity to look forward to with Jesus in heaven one day. Jesus is faithful and just. In other words, he's going to do what he says. He'll forgive you if you simply just ask him. The Bible says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So why wait until that day? How about doing it now? How about doing it today? Won't you confess your sins to Jesus right now where you are? I want to just ask you if you would bow your head, maybe even bow your knee where you are. Just get into a place maybe where even with your family, those that you're sitting there with, and join hands together and say this prayer out loud with me. Won't you bow your heads and say these words after me? Believe it in your heart, confess it in your mouth, this prayer. Let's bow our heads and pray. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I've done some awful things. I've said some awful things. I've lived a life that I'm not happy with. I'm miserable. I'm empty. And I'm sad. But right now, I confess my sins to you. Please forgive me. Cleanse me of this evil virus of sin in my life. And make me clean. Purify me from all unrighteousness. And come live in my heart. And be the Lord of my life. I thank you now that based on what your word says, my confession of faith and your finished work on the cross, I'm now saved, cleansed of my sins, a new creation, and a child of God. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and meant it, guess what? You're saved. It's just that simple. I want you to do something right now. If you prayed that prayer and meant it, I want you to message me right now. Maybe a private message. You can post it, however you want to do it. But send me something right now and let me know. Take a moment and reach out to me and tell me that you just asked Jesus in your heart. Won't you do that? I want to talk with you, if you will, as you post it. I want to respond back to you somehow. I want to help you in your new walk with Jesus. I want to pray with you. We want to encourage you as a family, as the body of Christ. You've made the best and the wisest decision that you'll ever make in your life. So I just want to say congratulations to you. So everyone, I want you to post right now, if you can find it, some praise hand emojis. Clap to the Lord. Let's rejoice right now because souls have been saved. And the kingdom of God has been expanded today. Let's rejoice together. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the souls that have been saved. You know, I want to close with this as we pivot into our time of communion. You know, as we put a lot of effort, it seems, as a nation, as a world, to focus on the cure for this virus. And my prayer is that mankind would be as focused and concerned about the sin sickness in our world and in our lives as we are about this virus. My prayer is that revival will break out all across the face of this earth as people turn to God. Amen? I want to read to you this morning the Easter story as we prepare for our time of communion. We're going to go to Luke chapter 22, and we're going to start in verse 39, if you will follow along with me. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you'll not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and he went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them, and he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going on, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come to him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you've come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts and you didn't lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled the fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down with him. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you'll disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Christ," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you'll not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" And he replied, "You are right in saying I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. And then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressed him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But with one voice, they cried out, "Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time, he spoke to them. "Why? What crime has this man committed? I've found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, and the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him, and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women, who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the women that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' And then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they were crucified. There they were crucified, him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, for if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one, he can do it." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" He said, "Since you are under the same sentence, We are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus turned to him and answered, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness had come over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, Surely this was a righteous man. When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was in waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. Now here's the part that we celebrate. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone that had been there once rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. He is not here. He is risen. We serve a risen Savior today. Amen? I'm so thankful today that Jesus is no longer in the tomb. And that's why we can celebrate communion. I want you to take your communion elements right now, if you will. And if you look at the scripture just before what I just read to you, the night before Jesus was crucified, the night before all of this happened, in Luke 22, verses 14 through 20, it says this. He was gathered with the disciples, and he reclined at the table when the hour came. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And so after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, This is my body for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I want you to take that wafer, if you will, right now, whatever cracker, whatever bread, whatever element that you have. And as Jesus broke it, I want you to break it as well. And I want you to take this element, and whatever it is that you're eating, it's representing the body of Christ. Know that Jesus said that this is my body broken for you, given for you. Remember it. I'm broken so that you may be made whole. Whatever it is that you're broken in this morning, you may be walking in fear right now today because of all that's going on. What's going to happen? What's the future look like? I'm afraid. Don't let fear control you. Let that fear be broken in you and walk instead in faith and in peace that God has got this. Won't you take this right now and let's receive it as his broken body that we might be made whole. Thank you, Jesus, that you've got this. We thank you, Jesus, that through your brokenness, we are made whole. We are complete in you. We receive this bread, this element of your body as a representation of you making us whole. You're in the process of making us whole. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. In verse 20 of this same text, it says, "In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the, so take this and drink this as a symbol of my spilled and poured out blood for the remission of your sins.'" That's what this cup represents. That's what this juice represents, is the shed blood of Jesus. He died for you so that we wouldn't have to spend eternity separated from God our Father. Let's thank God for the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins, the washing of our sins. Won't you receive it now? Jesus, we thank you today for your shed blood. We thank you for your broken body. We thank you that by your stripes we're made whole and by your blood we're saved. God, we walk in that today. And we ask these things that you would help us to walk it, not just today, but every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God for this wonderful day today. I want you to remember in prayer today a few people and a few situations. We're going to pray in just a moment for Donnie Grubb's sister, Judy Teal. Judy and Junior were in a car accident a couple of days ago. Junior was hurt some, but not as badly as Judy. Judy went through some surgery yesterday. She's recovering, had some crushed bones in her leg and a concussion, different things that she's been injured. We want to pray for Judy. Also, we want to pray for our country as we continue to deal with this virus, that God will give us protection, help us to find the cure, bring healing to those that are infected by it, and truly bring revival to our country and to this world as a result of it. Also, I want to pray for you as a congregation today, for the Church of Jesus Christ, that God will protect you, that God will provide for you, that God will, as an extension of Christ, that we can be to our communities what we need to be right now in this fearful and uncertain time. Would you bow your heads and pray right now? Father, we pray for Judy and for Junior, for all the rest of the needs of our church members, those that are struggling right now with walking in fear and uncertainty, that you'd provide peace, Lord God. Lord, that you provide, let us walk in faith and not fear. Father, bring healing to Judy and to Junior and all the rest of the folks that are struggling with sickness in our community through this coronavirus. God, that you would bring them out of the infection into a place of healing. Lord, that this sickness would not be unto death. Lord God, that you protect our congregation. God, that you would, I thank you, Lord, that we're seeing this curve being flattened and we're hopefully getting on the back side of this infections and people, this outbreak diminishing. Let it be so, Lord God, that we would continue to use the social distancing and the different things that we need to do to keep ourselves protected from this. Help us to use wisdom, but we also pray for your divine intervention. God, I thank you that you're going to help us to continue to be an extension of you, Lord Jesus, in our communities through social media, through physical acts of kindness and love, that we would be able to just connect with people and let them know that, God, you've got this, and we're in the palm of your hands. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this has gone a little bit longer today because of the communion. Thank you for staying with us. Let me give you a real quick announcement. So we're going to do this again next Sunday, meeting at 10:30. So I hope to see you here then for another time together. Crossroads today at 2:00 for Pastor Matt. Tonight, Pastor Joseph, 6:30 with the youth. Small groups are continuing throughout the week. I want to thank you for your faithful giving online as you're mailing your tithes and offerings in as well, also dropping them off of the church. And I want to leave you with a quote actually Kelly showed this to me this week. It's a quote from Billy Graham that I find very interesting and appropriate for the times that we're living in. It reads this. It says, "Everywhere I go, I find that people, both leaders and individuals, are asking one basic question. Is there any hope for the future? Is there any hope for peace and justice in our generation? The answer is yes. Hope does not rest in the affairs of this world. It rests in Christ, who is coming again as King of Kings." Amen? Next Sunday, I'm going to start a series entitled End Times Survival Guide. I know we're living in the end times. There's no doubt about it. So what must we do in these end times to not just survive, but to thrive? So for the next several weeks, as the Lord allows, I want you to join me, maybe invite some other folks as well. And let's see what God's word says about it. So if you will, join in, tell your friends, and be blessed. Also, Pastor Joseph is going to include in this posting a link to a song that I want you to listen to. So listen to the song. Discuss maybe this message with your family. Spend some time in prayer. And then let's reflect on this momentous day of our Christian faith together. We'll see you next Sunday right here on Facebook Live as we continue our social distancing, but not our virtual corporate gathering. So, He is risen, amen? He is risen indeed. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.